morning in class, Rick reminded us that God created us in his image to have a relationship with us, to have fellowship with us. But as humans, we make the statement, well, we're only human, because what we do is we mess things up. And as humans, we messed up that relationship that we had in the beginning with God. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of people who suppress the truth by their unrighteousness. Because what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, because they are understood through what was made and what has been made. So people are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God or give him thanks. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory for the immortal God for an image resembling mortal human beings or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the desires of their hearts to impurity, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creation rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Paul tells us what those evil, nasty sinners did that angered God. Certainly that wasn't me. I haven't done anything like that, have I? The big problem is, then Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, verse 23, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And it's not just those that we consider evil, not just those that sin the same way we do, that sin against God, but Paul says all have sinned. Did you know that sinners won't inherit the kingdom of God, his church? You can't even be a part of the church if you're still in your sin. 1 Corinthians, Paul tells the church at Corinth, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, passive homosexual partners, practicing homosexuals, thieves, the greedy drunkards, the verbally abusive, the swindlers will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then he says this to the church at Corinth. Some of you once lived this way, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of our God. Paul reminded the church at Corinth that they used to do such things, but they were washed, sanctified, and justified through Christ. Christ is our only true righteousness. What we consider righteous and righteousness is worthless. The only righteousness I have is in Jesus Christ. And the reason Paul gives us again in Romans chapter 5, there's nothing I can do about my sin. But Romans chapter 5, Paul tells the church at Rome, for while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, perhaps someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, because we have now been declared righteous by his blood, we will be saved through him from God's wrath. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, how much more, since we have become reconciled, will be saved by his life. Not only this, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. It was through Christ's death on the cross that we were even able to be reconciled back to that relationship that God once wanted with us. Only through Christ can we have that. Today we remember that. We remember what Christ did for us, that he gave us that opportunity to have that relationship with God again. Paul writes to the church at Corinth again in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this every time you drink it in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. By eating this meal, we tell the world that Christ made that relationship with God possible again. And we remember him and what he did to do that. Let's pray. Our Father and great God in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in this relationship with you again. We thank you, Father, for the opportunity through your Son. Thank you for his willingness to go to that cross, to be that sacrifice for our sin. We know, Father, that the things that we do, our own righteousness is as filthy rags, as Isaiah says. But we know that through Christ we have righteousness. We know that if we're in Christ, when you look down, you don't see us anymore, you see him. Thank you for that opportunity we have, Father, through your Son. Be with us now as we partake of this meal that proclaims what he did for us, that proclaims his death. We tell the world how important Christ is to us, that it's only through him that we can be reconciled to you again. Thank you, Father, so very much for this opportunity. Be with each and every one as we partake now. In Jesus' name I pray.